Hello, everyone, and welcome. I hope you're having a good Tuesday. I'm going to be covering again for Heather today, and we're going to look at some of the older implementers topics that are still in open status. Before that, though, if there is anyone new or anyone has any topics that they did want to bring forward today, feel free to unmute and let me know. All right. Since I'm not hearing anything, I'm going to go ahead and go into housekeeping. So one thing to note, the product council prioritization, we had a meeting with them and they are planning on moving forward this dashboard development. So I have links to this in the agenda, but you can find here they have this dashboard that has the top five priorities of the various SIGs and groups. Some subgroups I believe are in here as well. And so for our SIG in particular, how this gets decided is based off of voting. And we have a page for that as well. I've also linked to here for prioritization. So just a reminder about this, or if you're not aware of it, this shows the steps for how to vote on issues. And currently it looks like our top five are still the same, but I think this is something that Heather wanted to go over when she gets back. So tentatively we'll look at discussing this on the 15th. So if that's something you want to review or just want to go back and check on topics, and if there's anything new there, you can go and look at that here. So for the business, we're going to try and look at these older implementers topics that still have a status of open. And I just wanted to check in and see if we can maybe change the status or what work needs to still be done for these. So the first one on the list is implementers topic number 125. It was added by Sarah, and this is regarding multi-volume sets. And I believe we've talked about this. There is mention of talking about it in two different meetings. And there are notes for the PO to create a JIRA. I just don't know, is there anything more that we know of that needs to be added to this, or is the status, can it be set to pending?
Is Dennis or Joe or either, I mean, pending, I don't know. If there's a JIRA, then maybe it's pending, but if there's nothing has happened on it, then it's still open, right?
Yeah, I was actually just trying to look at that. So on here we have openness to be discussed. And in progress as discussion is ongoing. So I'm not sure if that makes sense to stick to those as the status. I don't see Dennis here. Joe or Aaron, do you have an expectation of
So,
some kind of difference between those?
can you hear me? I just had a
Yes.
different. Okay, yeah. So, if it is open, it is either it hasn't been discussed or we're looking for more information still. Pending means it's been discussed and it's being prepared to get a ticket. Closed means it's been fully written up and there's a JIRA ticket. That doesn't mean it's been discussed by the ThunderJet yet.
Okay. So if it has a JIRA,
So
it could be closed, but maybe not fully
if it
resolved.
yeah if it's if it
Okay.
has a JIRA, it should be closed. And
Okay.
I'm due to go back through and try to do maintenance on some of these. I tend to go through in waves and make sure there's
Okay.
nothing in there.
So it looks like for this one, then we did discuss it. Dennis, I see that you're here now. We're looking at implementers topic number 125, and there's a note PO to create JIRA. I don't know if you need any more information for this one or if we can set it to in progress.
Believe I was looking at this one and I was trying to figure out how many tickets it's actually going to be.
Okay, is that something we can maybe help
But
with?
I don't, yeah, I think if, sorry, but Mondra's made everything very tiny. Yeah, we've got two approaches listed. I guess I can just write a plan on writing up tickets for both, and we can change it to in progress unless Dennis has something.
No, I think this could be in progress. I was going to say, I mean, just because this has to do with multi-volume, the if memory serves, this is like different methods for determining the cost of acquisition of these multi-volume sets. Something along the lines of like understanding what the cost of acquisition was for these.
No.
Not exactly.
The reason why I think that it seems like it has to do with costs is if you add an item or items, then it changes the cost. So there's an interaction. It's not so much with determining as being able to manage having a being able to receive multiple pieces on something after the fact without knowing previously that it had been that. It's because of the interaction. You have to add pieces in receiving, which then back changes the quantity and then affects the cost, the estimated cost, and changes everything. So you have to, like, so right now, still in ransoms, I have to add more pieces, then go back, do the math, divide my total cost by how many pieces it actually turns out to be. And then so that it ends up costing what it's supposed to cost.
Yeah, I'm sort of remember this now. And why was so the ability to change the receiving workflow to independent? I
But
know,
it's not independent. That's the problem.
yeah, that was problematic here for a specific reason. Like, you don't actually just want to make the receiving workflow independent
Right.
in order to add more sets. So, like, because the problem was at the beginning when ordering, you didn't realize it would be multiple pieces. Now you've realized it is multiple pieces, and at one time you were not able to go back and change the purchase order line to an independent receiving workflow so that you could have multiple pieces.
Well, but the problem with changing it to an independent workflow is that then it doesn't close. Like
Right.
you know now that you have six things. And so it is actually synchronized. It's, I mean, you know how, but you want to make it six, but you can't make it six. You can't make it six on the POL. You have to add the pieces and then you have to do the math and then you have to change the cost. The problem with the independent workflow is that then once everything is received and the payment is made, it doesn't then close automatically, right? So then you have, if you do use that as your workaround, then you have to remember to go back and close it.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess those are two separate problems that could be addressed in two different ways. The one way to solve this, or the one approach we could take, would be make it possible to add additional pieces without changing the cost of the POL, which just sort of breaks it breaks the current structure, or it violates the current structure, because the whole idea of synchronized is that, yeah, you've ordered one thing, you receive one thing. Or you order two things, you receive two things. But that's not to say we couldn't make that happen. Maybe we could add a different type of piece or something along those lines. So you could add, like, maybe if you flag something as a supplement, we don't treat that as a unit of quantity or something along those lines. That I think could get quite confusing, possibly. The other way to address this, maybe, would be to have some type of closure logic for independent receiving workflow, which I think we have talked about in past. I don't know that we have implemented. So I thought at some point there was like a last piece logic for independent receiving workflows, where if you are receiving the last piece, like the last expected piece, that it would close, or that it would give you an option or something. I can't exactly remember. It seems like in this scenario, though, if you are expecting the order to close, it is likely because it's a one-time order. So in that context, if you're using a, independent order of C quantity, it may actually be possible for us to say, well, if this is the last piece on this that currently exists, then update the receiving status to fully received. For ongoing orders, that would be maybe problematic because theoretically, I think you're adding more and more pieces over time or year by year or something along those lines, and you wouldn't necessarily expect it to close.
So why can't the solution be that I can just change, I can edit the quantity number without changing the cost in the POL? And then that would, when I say, it would add the additional extra pieces.
You mean edit the quantity,
After I've opened it, like I go,
but
if I
not
can.
have that impact the cost? Like have Folio kind of sort out, fix the estimated cost rather than so if you change the quantity, it would just adjust the unit price accordingly.
But it already does that if I add pieces.
Yes. Well, it adjusts the estimated price because when you add a piece, you're updating the quantity of the POL. If
Right.
it's a synchronized POL.
Right. So let's imagine synchronized. And rather than having to flip back and forth between receiving and the POL, I simply in the POL can do both actions. I can do the math to say, oh, now I have six volumes rather than just one volume. I change the quantity to six. I divide my number by the total by six. I put that in there. It does the new adjustment. I hit save. It adds five more pieces over in receiving. But I've done everything from the POL. It's not, I jump over to receiving. I add a piece. 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 And then I come back and then I do the math.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we could, as long as you were adding pieces, that was not a problem. The original reason why we locked it down on the purchase order line is if you were to say, if you had a quantity of three, and you changed it to a quantity of one, there's no, like, the system doesn't know which piece you want to delete. So we would have needed to implement a workflow for basically asking the user, okay, you've changed the quantity now to one. Which pieces do you actually want to remove? Because we don't know which ones you're talking about when you just change the quantity. So for adding pieces, that would never be a problem because you're just, if you increase the quantity, we're just going to create new pieces. but they would be, blank pieces as well. Like, I'm not sure how useful that would be either, or you're still going to have to go to receiving and edit the pieces
Yeah,
versus.
I see. I hadn't thought about it. And like, that scenario doesn't usually happen to me. I only have to add.
Yeah, it was
And they're
just
not all supplement. I mean, it's
yeah.
not for supplement. So that scenario that you described or that workflow
Yeah, I see what you
is
mean.
not correct. It's more for multi-volume sets, right? Where you thought you were
Yeah.
just
It's almost like we need to add piece like and just some way of indicating that you don't want the POL cost to change. Like you basically just want to increase the quantity but keep the cost fixed. Because of the calculation, that would unfortunately mean, well, maybe unfortunately, or maybe it's realistic. Like if the cost of the POL is consistent, what you're actually doing is changing the unit price, because if you originally thought it was one thing and the cost was $10, and now you found out that it's actually two different things, but the cost is still $10, then the unit price now has to be $5 and the quantity is two.
Yeah, that's the trickiness. When
Yeah.
I say the
But how
cost,
does
that's what
that?
I'm really talking about, is I have to do the math for the unit price and
Yeah,
change
as
it so
long as
that, and sometimes it doesn't work out, right? You're a penny off and so forth. It's annoying.
right. Yeah, because of rounding. Yeah, I think that makes, and this is probably all laid out in here. We could definitely make this in progress. I think the more I kind of think about it, the more it seems like you just need to be able to tell Folio, like, I'm adding pieces here, and I know that's going to change the quantity of the POL, but I don't want it to change the cost because it is not affecting the cost. It might be more intuitive to do that from the POL in the first place, but we don't, that would be an entirely new workflow for us at the moment, just because.
So that scenario of doing everything in receiving, as long as I can say don't change the price,
Price.
that's fine too. I guess what I was meaning by can't I do everything in the POL is I would like to be able to do everything in one place. So whether it's
Yeah.
in receiving or on the POL, perfectly fine. It's just the jumping back and forth and trying to figure out which one to do when and
For
update
sure.
what when is the complication. So doing everything in receiving, saying, okay, I'm going to add pieces, but I don't want the price to change. That would be brilliant too.
Yeah, you might have to think a little bit about how best to approach that.
What
But
a
that, yeah.
checkbox on the receiving record.
I mean, that would definitely work from a technical perspective. It might be a little onerous, that small little flag. Yeah, it might be worth just kind of thinking that through a little bit. Maybe a separate button, so you've got kind of two options, like add piece, fixed quantity, or. That also is confusing, I know. So we might need a minute to just think through, yeah, the best way to achieve that. But it's entirely possible for sure. I think from the perspective of from our current state, my thinking is making this possible from receiving would be not only like a smaller technical hurdle, but possibly easier to kind of align the usability of it, because it would be kind of like a multiple window thing in the purchase order line, because that edit form, you know, if you're changing POL quantity, it's just an edit form. So it would have to be, you know, you change the quantity and then you click save the POL, and then it pops up a modal and it asks you to do a few other things because it needs to know, you know, just in case you decided to decrease the quantity. That's really our problem.
I have to say, doing it all from receiving, actually workflow wise, you know, when I think of how I work or other people, their workflow, literally how they work, makes much, much more sense.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's sort of my that would be my impression too. Like you're already there
Right. You're
working with
receiving it. You
it.
go, oh,
Yeah.
shoot, it's this
There's an
bound.
extra one. Exactly.
There's six things in this slip case.
Yeah.
I suddenly have six items, and Gobi has charged me for one because they've charged me for the whole
Yes.
thing, the
Yeah.
slip case of the six items, right? But I have to put a barcode on each thing. I
On
have to be able
everything.
to circulate each thing. And
Yeah.
so that could be a totally different person who normally works in the POL. So having it just all happen in receiving would be really wonderful.
And I mean, if you are in this scenario where you're adding pieces to a one-time order, is this maybe the most common use case? I'm just, this is a question maybe for the entire group, because I don't know, but it seems like if you ordered something, you know, and you're adding quantity, you ordered if it's a one-time order, the probably you didn't get it wrong and decide, oh, actually, I want another copy, so I'm gonna edit this order and like add another piece, and tell the vendor I want another copy. Like I'm guessing that's less common. Like in that scenario, you probably just create another order, or you might have to. Like this might be the most common situation where you ordered the quantity of one because of, based on the vendor's options, right? And then you actually get the thing and realize, well, I need more pieces here. Like I have to barcode more stuff here. This was actually more than one thing. Does anyone have a sense of that? Would anyone be feel comfortable commenting on that? Like, is it more common then you're adding more quantity and expecting the cost of the POL to increase in this scenario?
The slip case thing is a perfect example. It's not about adding more copies of the same thing. That is a then you just create another order or another like that's not what we're talking about. It's the not only the vendor but the publisher themselves. The publisher sells the thing as a slip case. It says on the thing, this is sold as a single unit. You cannot buy the three volumes that are contained in the slip case independently. You have to buy them as a unit. The unit costs $500. You order the thing, it's a one. Gobi sends it over in Gobi integration as a one for $500. But then you get the thing and you have to circulate it as three different objects. So you need three pieces.
I see. Yeah. What I'm kind of thinking is, and that totally makes sense to me, and I understand what you're saying. What I'm thinking is maybe we just missed the point originally when we built this. maybe when you add a piece in receiving, it should always only increase the quantity and leave the cost fixed. If you want to change the cost, you have to go edit the POL. Do you know what I'm saying?
I would
Like,
love that.
I'm just asking the question because it seems as we're kind of talking through it, I'm imagining that this is the most common use case. Like if you're adding a piece in receiving to a synchronized order, you are probably not expecting the price to increase in general. You've got more quantity than you expected. So my thinking right now is like maybe it just doesn't change anything is in terms of the interface. It's just that when you add a piece in receiving, we only adjust the quantity. We keep the price of the POL fixed. And if you want to change the price of the POL, like the cost, the unit price, then you have to edit the POL.
Dunlan has her hand raised. I don't know.
Go ahead.
I just want to respond to Dennis' earlier question about, I think it depends on institution. Each institution may have different kind of workflow. I guess I'll use our library as an example. Our acquisition and cataloging are separate. So for acquisitions, we create PO, we receive an invoice, we pay, but we don't catalog. So a lot of time, the barcoding, adding barcode to pieces is strictly handled by cataloging. So for example, in the set record, a typical rule of thumb, how we operate is, you download OCLC record. If the record is a set DLC record, and that's how that we expect the vendor invoice as a set, and that's what we expect to receive it as a set, regardless how many volume, then we order it as a set. But I understand what Sarah was raising. If it's a multiple volume, and then if you want to do receiving, adding each piece and adding barcode, that would be I can totally see what the concerns there. But if it's a set, but after we receive an invoice as a set, but the cataloging staff decide it's best to catalog each volume separately, then it's their decision. They definitely add a barcode to each piece, and then they could turn around, catalog each volume as individually, catalog separate. That's what we call it. And then vice versa, if we order something as a piece, volume one, volume two, volume three separately, but it turned out the cataloging staff decided this should be cataloged as a volume, as one record instead of a separate record. So it happens both ways. But so my long answer is just to say it really depends on each library's workflow, how you handle the set situation. Okay, I'm loading. That's it. Thank you.
Jessica?
So our departments function similar to the way that the last speaker was describing the relationship between acquisitions and cataloging at our institution as well. And I agree, like that it seems very institution specific if somebody's having this issue. But like one of the things that we do, I think, like to take it even further. I'm not quite sure how like our serial side handles this, but I think it's fairly similar. Is that if we're ordering some kind of a set, we'll generally create just like one PO, even if something's ongoing. And we know that other pieces might be added to it, or we know that multiple pieces might be coming in. If we receive something that is, a set, and we know that there's going to be like 19 different pieces in that set, we'll say, okay, like in a note that there's 19 pieces, and we just receive one PO. And we're invoiced for one PO as well. We just receive and pay for one PO, and our institution is okay with that. Others may not be. But then what we do is, we'll, after that's received, we'll add different items and barcodes in inventory. So we've taken that out of the orders app and out of the receiving app. And it may be because we found that, there it would be too complicated otherwise. To just sorry, something about additional items not being associated with the PO or POL when they're added as items in inventory. I haven't seen it work that way with our monographic sets where we add these items on in inventory because we'll create one PO and then that one PO creates one instance, one holdings, and then one item. So in the acquisition section that is connected to that instance, you have that one PO and it stays there. And then all of the items can get added under it. I haven't, I think, checked too thoroughly to see if that acquisitions information carries over into each new item added, but you can at least get back to the parent like instance record, which will give you that PO number. So I think we just kind of go backtrack and find it that way.
Yeah, it may not, like the individual item records wouldn't show the acquisitions connection, but the holdings may still show it and the instance may still show it depending on where the links are. Makes sense to me. It does seem, I'm sort of going back and forth here between like shifting the, having the quantity only increase, but the price remain fixed when adding pieces. But that also, the more I think about it, that is the situation. It's outside of the quantity changing. I mean, independent order and receipt quantity still feels like the right fit for this because you did just buy one thing, or at least the vendor considered it to be one thing. So I'm just wondering, Sarah, do you even really want the order line quantity to increase, or are you just happy to have that happen because it means that the order will automatically close when you're done?
So, I have an interest in my items being associated with the POLs that I've purchased them on. And so, for me, the whole carry through is I need to have a piece to have an item that shows that it's associated with a POL. I know that the holdings is associated with a POL. I check it off. I know the instance shows that my POL is there. But if I run a list report, eventually, or any kind of report at the item level, then those additional items will not show that they were purchased on said POL at that and that time, right? So I want the association to be there. I do not want to break the association only because Folio cannot manage to show the association. Right. Like with my old system, I could have this all linked together. So that's where I'm coming from, knowing that, oh, this POL had these three volumes or these six volumes or however many it is come in on it. And they are these over here in inventory. And it's not an independent order, it's not an ongoing order, it's a one-time order that turns into having multiple pieces for whatever reason. And for libraries that don't care about the association, that's great. But
Well, I'm not so I'm not asking, like, I understand that you want the association, but does the POL quantity increasing from one to whatever, is that actually something you're
No, I don't
okay.
care about that number as long as I
Right.
can. The problem there was so far has been if I add pieces to be able to associate them, then that number changes. So for all I care, that number can remain one on my POL, and I can suddenly have, three pieces that become three items. And they all still cost only $500. That would be fine with me too.
Which I think is why in the comments here, we were kind of leaning towards making it possible to change the workflow to independent. But then your issue with the independent workflow is the closure of the order at the end, like the automated updating of the POL status.
Right, because then, I mean, you had this really nice idea of being able to just in receiving say, oh, I'm going to add some more pieces, but I don't actually want the price to change. Right. And I thought, oh, that's great. Right. Because then it's all happening in receiving. But now, if we have to change the workflow to independent and after doing these multiple items, then also have to remember to go back to the POL and now say manually change it to fully received, then I'm flipping back and forth again. And that actually seems even more like trickiness than my doing my math and, adding pieces and then changing the unit price to get my price again. That almost seems more straightforward to me.
I mean, unless so I'm thinking the other approach I'm thinking now is from that receiving title, being able to set it to independent. And then be able to add pieces kind of as needed. Like the key thing is maybe that part. And a side note there might be when receiving pieces, having like a receive and close order or something. Close order would be problematic, but receive and complete order, something like that. Or res you know well we'd have to talk about the wording of the button, but essentially having a button that is clearly labeled to the user so they know if I click this, then I'm not just receiving the piece, I'm also changing the purchase order line status to fully received, which might just be useful in general for independent order receipt quantity, because it would allow you to much more quickly control that aspect of it. Like, to state while you are receiving, to say, this is the last thing. So don't just receive it. Receive it and update the PO line status to fully received. Like, we're done here with receiving. Maybe that is approach number three or four, to allow you to change the receiving workflow from the receiving area so you don't have to go back to the POL. And then at that point, you can add as many pieces as you need to add. But also to be able to update the receipt status from this receiving area. So you have like a full, you can sort of manage that whole the entire life cycle. And maybe that would improve other workflows as well, because you having that option when it's independent order receipt quantity.
That would definitely work then if I can then at the end say, okay, I just added these five extra ones and now I'm done and
I'm
they're
done, yeah.
done and this is it. And then I could say, okay, change it to fully received, all in receiving. That would be fine. I mean, that would work for me.
Yeah.
It's this jumping back and forth that
That's
makes
a
it really tricky.
yeah.
Especially since in some cases you've actually already paid the invoice, and in other cases you haven't yet paid the invoice.
Right,
That like
exactly.
that makes it all the more complicated.
Yeah, you don't necessarily want to verify that. You just want to be able to say receiving is done, because that whatever user is doing that,
Yeah.
they would know at that point.
Right.
But they may not know whether the invoicing has happened or, what
Right.
else.
And they shouldn't be messing with the encumbrance, and they shouldn't be messing, with all that, with the unit costs and everything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I mean this we went a little farther into this than I anticipated, but it's a helpful discussion. Just gonna make some updates here quickly.
Actually, and because you said, oh, well, this might also help other workflows. I could see that happening. So if I then from receiving could say for something that's independent, the workflow is independent, that now I consider it fully received, and that would then on the QL say that it's fully received. That could be really helpful because I believe right now, if I, depending on where for ongoing orders, which are a whole different shebang, right? Like whole different scenario here. But and that was a different implementer's topic at some point. The options for what you can make at the POL ongoing order, how it's ongoing for receipt and payment, are very, very limited. And oftentimes when you are then going to you the thing has ceased or something, you want to just say, oh, well, it's fully received. They're not going to publish anymore. It's done now. It would be nice to be able to do that on the receipt of the last item.
So I think if it works, I will definitely set this to in progress. Dennis, if you have enough for that.
Yes, please do. Thanks.
Okay. I'll change that after our meeting. I think the next two implementers topics that we had are from Martina, and I don't believe she's here today. So let's see. The next one after that is topic 149 that was added by Molly. Is Molly here?
We're seeing a different screen. We're seeing the notes, just FYI.
Yeah, I was looking at Heather's list of. Sorry, you see the agenda screen?
Yeah, I thought you were on the screen of the implementers topics, but we're on the agenda. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, Heather
Okay.
has a list of the ones that are open.
Ah, I see. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Thank you. but I don't see Molly here either. So let's see. What's the next one that I have? Number 153. Let's check that. This is Scott and Aaron.
I believe we discussed this one and decided that it was not going to happen. So I think it can be closed.
Okay. I think we've had, yeah, different similar conversations about this topic. write that down. Okay. 162. Also Martina. 163, 164. Those are also Martina. 79. Oh, I do not see it. And 184. And that's now in progress. So I guess that's all that I have for today. If anyone has anything that they would like to bring up, we have about 15 minutes left. All right. Then you can have your 15 minutes. I hope you all have a great day and thank you for joining us.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Cheers.